There are a million ways to make money in the food service industry. You just have to find one. On the Titans of Food Service podcast, I interview real life movers and shakers in the food game who cut through all the noise to get to the top. My name is Nick Portillo, and welcome to the Titans of Food Service podcast. Let's jump right into it. Hello to my fellow food service community from my sunny, well, I think my last episode was like this. It's not so sunny, Orange County, California studio. Nick Portillo here. This is the Titans of Food Service. Appreciate you joining me on another episode. Today, I welcome Mark Chavez. He is the Director of Nutrition Services at the Tustin Unified School District. We're going to talk all about his journey throughout school nutrition and school food service, how he got to where he's at today, what his day-to-day life looks like, and some special projects that he's working on within the district. Now, Tustin Unified School District, for me, holds a special place. That is home to my alma maters, my elementary school, my middle school, and my high school. So really cool to talk with Mark and learn what he's up to and what the district's up to. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. It's a fun one. Sit back, relax, and let's go ahead and welcome Mark. All right. Hey, Mark, how are you? Welcome to the Titans of Food Service. Appreciate you taking time this evening to come on and talk with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me over, Nick. I'm really excited.
All right, man. All right. Well, I'd like to start off with as I was telling you off camera, the Fiery Five food service questions. Just five fun, easy icebreaker questions. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
If you could have dinner with any one person, whether they are historical or alive, who would it be and why?
Ooh, anyone.
I'd have to say my great-grandfather on my father's side of the family.
Okay.
And that's because I never got the opportunity to meet him, but there was a legacy that he left behind that, man, I have so many questions. I wish I would have a conversation with him.
I think that's a great, great answer. And you know what? Of all the times I've asked that question, you're the first one that's ever given me a familial person. You know, usually it's some historical figure that's, you know, famous or a celebrity of some sort. So I love that answer. So thank you. Ready for question number two? Of all the meals that are served within the Tustin Unified School District, which one is your favorite?
Of the current meals that are being served today, I would probably say they're both carne asada related, but we serve carne asada fries and carne asada tacos. Tacos out of the Mexican cuisine is just my go-to, but I think that's one of the items that both the kids and I enjoy very much.
Okay. I can see how the kids like that. Next question is, if you can only have one type of cuisine for the rest of your life, what would it be? And it doesn't have to be something necessarily served within schools. It just could be just in general.
In general, Mexican food is my favorite because I think it's so, it's got so many flavors, so many regions of Mexico that make up this cuisine. You know, I love nopales, which are staple item in our Mexican cuisine, but tacos, I just mentioned that as well. Enchiladas. Oh man, my mouth is already getting watery. But yeah, anything Mexican food, sign me up.
Are there any dishes that you've not tried within a certain cuisine that you still want to try?
Let's see. I've tried snails before. Oh, and, interesting. But I did do it. I don't think something I haven't tried. I think I'd go after something that I just haven't tried. And maybe, like more seafood. Like I like just fish and shrimp and stuff like that. Octopus I'll do. But I think I'd like to expand my seafood palette there.
I feel that. You know, I've had many different types of fish and shellfish and so on and so forth, but there's so many species out there. There's so many different dishes that I've never tried before that I'd like to someday in the future myself. So I get that. I think also too, there's, you know, the way that you can use fish in application is really endless. Of all the different ways that you can have it. You know, typically when I go to a restaurant, I always lean more towards the beef, followed by the chicken, and then the fish would probably be last in terms of proteins. Sure. But doesn't mean I don't like fish. I do love fish.
Nice. Yeah. I love beef, so I'm right there with you. Give me a nice tomahawk steak, ribeye, if you want to do it with the cowboy cut, that too. Hey, man, anytime there's ribeye, I'm there.
And then my final question here is, do you have a favorite food-related memory from traveling?
Ooh, food-related memory from traveling. Okay, so I was visiting my grandparents, right? So my grandmother was taking me to a nearby small town, Chalma, from Mexico City. So my father's side of the family is from Mexico City, and I grew up there for a little while. And on this particular trip, we're going to celebrate the festival of the neighborhood, which is Chalma. And I got to try crickets for the first time.
Mm.
And so crickets, you know, they're all dried up, and then you put a little lime juice, a little hot sauce, salt, if you'd like. And it's like this delicacy treat that you have, you know, on a summer day. You may have some soda with it, right? So whether you're having a Coke or maybe some jarritos, because, you know, in Mexico, that's huge. So I'm definitely enjoying that probably again. It was unique the first time, but it was in my teen years. So I'd like to try it again as an adult. I'm not sure if I can put it down like I did when I was a teen, but I'll try it again.
That's something I'd like to try one day in the future as well. I think they're high in protein too, if you have enough of those things.
I think so, man. I think I could only put down like three or four, and that's good for me.
Yeah.
Once you start biting into them, I remember when I was a kid getting all the little limbs and pieces, and it starts doing something in your mouth, and you're like, ooh, add some more hot sauce and lime juice, and it'll go down.
It'll go down. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Well, thanks for humoring me on the Fire Five food service questions. Maybe a little background on yourself. Who are you, and what is your profession within the food service industry?
Yeah. So, Mark Chavez, I am a director of nutrition services currently right now serving at Tustin Unified School District. Mm-hmm. But for almost the last, 2 decades already, I've been in the food service industry. I started out really in the private side. So I was working for the McDonald's Corporation. I rose through the ranks quickly on the management side to a restaurant manager. But I only served about three and a half years or so. And my mother was a K-12 school food service lunch lady in Los Angeles Unified School District. And so watching her as a little boy growing up, going to school, she was one of the many that I got to interact with in the kitchen at school. And so my mother instilled that vision that I could become just like her, another school nutrition professional. And I did. And I'm really proud of that, because my mother instilled the strong, good work ethic that I have today. And also just the compassion to all of the people serving in food service, right? I mean, it's not just the people in the kitchen, but think of the delivery driver, think of the suppliers, the distributors, the sales brokerages that exist out there that really make this ecosystem in food service, that make it happen every day. And that's why I'm so proud to serve in the industry that I have been for the last 18 years now in K-12. And so when I first started in K-12, I started at Pomona Unified with probably the best mentor that I think anyone could ever wish for in James Stallings, a former food service director, but a standout name in the industry. And she gave me the opportunity, and I was able to learn along under the leadership of Daryl Hickey, who was the associate director there as well, currently now the director in Pomona Unified. So shout out to Daryl. But he taught me a lot. He taught me a lot in this industry, and both Jane and Daryl gave me the opportunity to meet people, work with administrators, students, and all the frontline staff, and really grow into a career. And I think that that's an amazing field to be in. And that's school nutrition, that is, in particular, of the food service industry. They told me back then, it's a hidden treasure of the food service industry. I still believe that today.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing in the K-12 food service industry. But I've served in seven different districts. So from Pomona, I went to Fontana Unified as an assistant director, then moved laterally after 2 years to Santa Ana Unified. And I did about 7 years there, doing a lot of great things with some amazing people that I worked with. And so from there, I wanted to, you know, try some new district and also a promotion. And so I became the executive director of Nutrition Services and Warehouse for Oakland Unified School District. And from there, I moved over to Long Beach Unified, did a little over 3 years there. Then I wanted to try the private side of it. And I was working for a private company who focused specifically on serving charter schools. And so that was very fun and unique for a minute. And then I said, no, you know what? My place to be in is really in the school district mm-hmm. setting. And so I went back to work with Carlsbad and then now Tustin. And all amazing places, taught me a lot. Good things happening in every
totally.
District.
Would you say, based on your experience, to move up, to get to the position or positions that you'd like to be at in this industry, on the school nutrition side, can you stay at one district and move your way up? Or is it better to get experience in one district and then maybe take a position jump somewhere else and then a jump somewhere else? What's the best way to move up to get to where you're at today?
I would say, just through my own personal experience and looking at my own past, I think moving is healthy
yeah.
because it's contributing to your professional development mm-hmm. growth, right? I've seen colleagues stay at one district or maybe even two, but there's only so much of experience that you're going to gain from being in the same place. So if you go back and look at all the districts that I've worked in, the majority have been major city, large urban setting districts. So you're talking about Long Beach, you're talking about Oakland, Santa Ana. These are large districts. But then when you look at a Tustin, a Carlsbad, medium to small size, you may not get the same challenges and issues in those settings as you would in the larger settings, because there's more activity, more mm-hmm. people, more operation, more conversation, right, that has to happen. And so I always have told people that if you want to promote and make this a career, try to rise in the ranks as quick as possible. So if you got to move in 2 to 3 years, make that move. Once you get to the director level, whether that's an assistant director position first, learn for a year or two before you make that jump. But then by then, you've already got 4 to 5, maybe 6 years of experience under your belt. And by then, you're just at the right level to even take on a larger district if you wanted to.
Okay, makes sense. Hey, what does your day-to-day look like?
Oh, man. I always look at things from a 30, 60, 90 kind of view.
Okay.
So from the leadership role as a director in charge of the nutrition program, you can have anywhere from like 50 employees to like 450 employees. depending on the size of the district, if not more, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
But you're trying to lead all of the operation, all of the administration and business related responsibility that comes with it, right? And so you're looking at 30 days out, 60 days out, 90 days out, so that you can actually be proactive and make plans for the future. Sometimes you're going to have to do that in a year or two in advance. And that way, you know, in a multi-year view, what that looks like. But then that gives me the vision for what my actual day would look like. So if I'm looking to do things in the short term, I'm tackling some of those things such as meetings or direction for staff, checking up on operations out in the field, visiting schools, talking to principals, having lunch with kids, saying, hey, what's working, what's not, what's thumbs up, what's thumbs down, right? Kids will tell you what's hit or not on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love that they're so honest, but they are so real in conversation with you. And so I try to make that possible by visiting schools, but I will probably say, you know, it's almost like a 10 hours a day is good enough to really get your handle on things. But there's peaks and valleys to it, you know. Summertime, you may slow down a little bit, catch mm-hmm. your breath, but when you ramp up and start up a school year, your sleeves rolled up and you're on the front line helping and making things happen wherever possible.
When you go to, you know, look at menus, are you setting, would the high schools and the middle schools or junior high schools and the elementary schools, would they all have a similar menu throughout the week? Or how does that work?
Well, it all depends on the school district setting, right?
Okay.
So you have to look at your school district operation first to determine, okay, how am I going to align the menus or simplify them or make them more tailored to the actual demographic of the schools that are going to be on a particular menu. So when I look at it from the high level first, and I'm going to say, do we have a central kitchen or not? Because a central kitchen gives you a lot of more capacity and bandwidth to do operational things, right? So the size of your district will matter as well. How many sites or students you have, what's the participation rate of a particular school meal program, because that will tell you how many meals per day, per meal type you're going to have to pump out, right, in your production. The breakfast, the lunch, the snack program, or a supper meal program that you may have to put all together. Mm-hmm. And so you may be making, I don't know, 5,000, 7,000, 10 or 15,000 meals in a day, all collectively. And so regardless of what that number may be, I always try to tailor some regional geographic area preferences together. So if I know that there is certain likings of food items or food choices, then I'm going to make sure that the menu has that representation. And the best way to do that is always to engage students, because if you let them build the menu for you, then that participation builds itself, because it's student driven. It's student selected or preferred items, right? Now, on the administrative side, as a director or a dietitian, you're going to look at making sure that it's cost effective, making sure that it's not out of whack with labor intensity, right? Because you don't want to overwhelm your staff. So it's got to be balanced. But the nutritional value is without a question. You got to try to make it the best possible, because this is where our future youth is learning in the classroom to become the future leaders of America. And we want to prepare them and support them with all of the best nutrition possible from our perspective every day.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I remember, you know, thinking back to, by the way, for everybody listening out there, Mark works at a very special place to me, actually in my own home, Unified School District. I was part of the Tustin Unified School District, elementary school. I went to Loma Vista, middle school. I was Hughes, and then high school, I was Foothill. And so very familiar with the Tustin Unified School District. And I remember in elementary school, my mom would make a lunch for me, like a brown bag lunch. And then I remember at Hughes eating on campus. And then when I went to Foothill, I lived right across the street. And so starting my sophomore year, I could find ways to kind of sneak out and go home. Cause then I had baseball right afterwards.
Yeah.
And so I was a little bit of a rebel doing that, but I always look forward to my times on campus of, you know, the school lunches and always a really nice job done by the team that worked there. And a lot of time and prep goes into that. What about, you know, when it comes to, so you look at, you know, what do the schools look like, or what are the students like, excuse me, you know, maybe some different preferences based on maybe the population that lives in that area. But what about adhering to different compliance? You know, I know the state of California has different rules, or just K-12 in general has different rules than, let's say, than a restaurant would have, or a hotel would have in terms of looking at the ingredient statement. What are some of the compliance things that you have to look at?
Absolutely. So the meal pattern is the roadmap for all school meal programs to follow nationally, right? They are provided by the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA. And so that meal pattern tells us for both a breakfast and lunch, or even a supper meal program, in what that meal should look like, right? And what compliance or components should be made available to the students every day. And so you're looking at your five food groups, right? Your protein, your grain, your fruit and your vegetable, and dairy representation. Mm-hmm. And so with protein, you also have protein alternatives or meat alternates that you can use, such as like peanut butter or maybe cheese to supplement. And if you didn't want to use an actual chicken, beef, pork, fish protein, right? And so you're looking at those preferences and student choices that they want to see and have you make. And so you're trying to work with your inside team, which is your dietitians, your nutritionists, your central kitchen, maybe if you have one, in terms of the labor production, how to schedule it on the appropriate days to give some separation. Because in the preparation, you got to look at, okay, do I need to thaw something out? How long does it thaw? How long do I have to slack it before I can actually start using and cooking in mass production? And then how long does it take to actually complete the production? Because you may have to package it and put it into individual trays, hot seal them, transport them cold or hot. And so all these other additional layers kind of play a role in your decision making of planning your production schedule or your menu in general. But those are all factors that you have to be aware of. If you don't have a central kitchen and you're just making it on site, what's the space of capacity for cold storage, dry storage, and what volume can they handle? And what cooking utilities do you have, right? That's all relevant right now in California, as we're making strides to, you know, be the trailblazer. And we were in California, was the first state to pass school meals for all, where every student attending school does not have to pay for their school meal. And they receive two per day. So that's a breakfast meal and a lunch meal, mm-hmm, offered at no cost to them. And so California set the standard. And now we have a couple of more states across the country following suit. And so hopefully that transpires to where USDA says, we're going to do it for all students, all children in America, and all schools can do the same.
In that program, what about students, anything for dinner? Or is it mainly just breakfast and lunch, kind of, you know, more hours when you're on campus?
Yeah, so that's correct. So it was focused on the school day.
Yeah.
And so students there for breakfast and lunch, the after school hours, you have a reduced audience. So not many students are there in those hours in comparison to the day, right? You still have a need. There is a population that stays over for extracurricular activities. Like yourself, you said it earlier, you did athletics. So yeah, baseball was your sport.
Yep.
Think about the football player, the wrestler, the volleyball, the water polo, the dance team, the cheer team. I mean, every student has a different extracurricular activity, and they may need a little bit more nourishment to get them by in the totality of their activities. Sometimes these students are arriving before school starts into a zero period because they want to get an additional class out of the way, and they're working with our teachers that are helping them get there. They may be working on getting a AA degree while they're going to also obtain their high school diploma. And when they graduate, there's programs nowadays where they can actually walk away with their community college degree, associate's degree, that is, and their diploma. And then they continue their education. And so that's happening. But at dinner, there is the child and adult care feeding program that allows for a supper, which is the dinner setting meal. And there are schools that do provide it out there. It's just that they have to subscribe to a different meal program outside of the National School Lunch Program. And that second meal program is the Child and Adult Care Feeding Program.
All right. That's good to know. I did not know that. I was earlier today, I was actually at, I'm a mentor in the mentorship program at Newport Harbor High School. And my mentee, you know, him and I, we worked this whole school year. He got to shadow me professionally. We did social events, and it's actually a really cool program. And they essentially go around and every student gets a mentor. You know, my student was part of their culinary program. And so he's interested in potentially looking at maybe, you know, being in a culinary profession or hospitality profession in the future. And is that something that you, a culinary program, is that something that you see happening within the Tustin Unified School District?
Oh, yeah. You know, Tustin Unified has been incredible in the number of academic career path options presented to students, right? We've created, I mean, our teachers and administrators, they work really hard, and I've seen them do it. They plan to give our students the best choices possible. And like robotics, culinary arts programs are available. So at your alma mater, Foothill High School, amazing culinary arts program. It's been there, and they also branched out to the middle school K-8 range. So we have Orchard Hills Elementary. It's a K-8 grade level school, but it also has a culinary arts program as well. And so this is the first time that I've actually seen it in a K-8, but I'm super excited because, you know, if I could give you something for your podcast that we're doing, Foothill High School upcoming, we're going to create a pizzeria. So I'm not sure if you remember when you went to school, there was probably where you'd line up to get meals. And there's this building right in the middle of the campus next to the gym that has that like four or five windows, and they serve out their school lunch, right?
I know right where it is,
So that, that space right there, I'm going to modernize it in the upcoming school year to make it a pizzeria. And I want to bring students' favorite food. Anytime I go out to a classroom or just the lunch benches and hang out and talk with kids, their number one response is always pizza. Like, give us pizza and we're happy. Like, you don't have to do anything special. Just give us pizza every day, all day. No problem. We're good. Right. So I said, great. Okay. But let me make it better. What can I do better? And so we do partner with commercial pizza partners like Papa John's. Right. And they provide us the pizza. There's Domino's who also partakes in the industry and helps schools deliver that type of pizza program to their schools. But we're going to create Neapolitan in a, or either a Neapolitan or a Roman style pizza, which is like a little bit thicker of the crust, because we need to make sure that we get that grain contribution, that bread contribution in the meal pattern. But the Neapolitan style pizza is, I think, also a trending food item among our high school age kids. And so getting them that wood fire style burning pizza oven that's like almost 600 degrees and you can make a pizza in less than like 2 minutes. That's what I want to bring to kids. I want to make sure that not only what you get at like your local Italian restaurant or pizzeria, hey, schools can make some really good bomb pizza as well. Mm-hmm. And I want to do that. The Tustin staff's behind it. Our leadership is behind it. And so we're going to invest in our students by bringing the proper equipment, making the facility modernized to meet those needs, and partner with the Culinary Arts Program to help kids earn jobs while they're going to school, but also building their resume of working with the school nutrition program and being a student worker while fine-tuning their culinary arts skills as well. Mm-hmm. And hey, who knows? They're gonna add their own flavor and their own, you know, panache to this project. And it's gonna be something that I'm gonna invite the Titans of Food Service Podcast to come back and check it out, because this is your alma mater, brother.
That's right. Hey, I'd love to be a part of it. I love the industry that we're in, and you know, we both got into it because of, you know, family connections. You know, you had your mom working in the LA Unified School District. I've had my dad selling food all over the place and in his career, and it's such a great industry to be a part of. But a lot of times, you know, school, when you go to school, you know, you may be looking at, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a nurse or whatever it may be. But the food service industry, it's gigantic. There's millions of people in this industry. And why not, you know, through your pizza program, what a great way to introduce people to such a robust and such a beautiful industry that we're in. And, you know, the more attention awareness that there is to it, even though it's kind of like this, I don't want to say it's a sleeping giant, but it's very much, it's there, but it's something that you don't necessarily think of outside of the people that truly want to be like, you know, chefs and things like that. But you can make a great career in this industry for sure.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm so thankful to my mom for showing me the ropes of what she did. I mean, let me tell you, she's a single parent working 2-3 jobs most of her time.
Yeah.
And so, working in schools was one of them. Being a mail carrier was the other. And man, that woman was working day and night and doing whatever she had to do to get 5 kids ahead in life, right? And I said, you know, I can do that too. And that's why I always had this gravitation towards food service. Because one, I'm a huge foodie. I like eating, taste testing and playing around in the kitchen. But it's the beautiful thing now that I'm in a administrator role is really bringing forward and to life the innovation, the professional development of our colleagues, right? A lot of people that I've been able to mentor and see them rise in their career have been a blessing, really. And now I get to sit back and see colleagues that were, you know, manager ranks or assistant director, and now they're director and they're leading the whole program now. But they're doing it their way, and they're doing good work for kids. And so, yes, a lot of good work is happening in school nutrition.
Fantastic. Well, Mark, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me and doing this. And I would absolutely love to be part of in any shape or form, any fashion that you see for your pizza program as you roll that out here in the future. But thank you so much for doing this and sharing your story and more about yourself. I really appreciate it.
Well, of course, anytime, man. And if you guys haven't been listening to my man Nick's podcast, make sure you do. It's a great podcast, and thank you for putting that on. I'm on there. I've been listening. I'm a fan. So thank you, Nick.
Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate that.